I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles in 1969. I was walking by the La Cienega Temple, which Bhavananda had painted very gaily in a very unique style. And the sign invited me to come in and take breakfast. It was early in the morning. I came to the door and I was met by Murlidhar, who could see I had long hair and a beard, and he said, "Do you know the white light that Timothy Leary is talking about?" And of course I said, "Yes." And he said, pointing to the altar, "This is the person that that light comes from." Immediately I was attracted. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada was due to arrive, and we gathered at the gate at the airport, and I was holding a sign. On one side was the image of Srila Prabhupada, and the other side was Gopal, Krishna with the cow. When Srila Prabhupada walked through the gate, I felt an energy and fully beyond my control, tears jumped out of my eyes. And when I came to my senses, Srila Prabhupada and the rest of the devotees were halfway down the corridor on the way out of the airport. This was my first meeting with such a person. Later, my initiation coincided with the installation of the first Radha Krishna deities in Los Angeles. And I heard Srila Prabhupada instruct that the deities were to be covered. So when the deities were brought out for the fire sacrifice, there was a cloth over the deity. But when Srila Prabhupada removed that cloth, the deities had no cloth on. So he ripped his uttariya and made a dhoti and a cloth to cover the deities. And I thought that was truly amazing. And after installing and performing the arati, he told the story of Sanatana Goswami, how he kept his deity in the tree. And one day the deity told him, "Sanatana, you're only giving me these old dry chapatis. You don't even give me any salt. What can I do?" And Srila Prabhupada folded his hands and told, "My Lord, I'm a poor man. All that I have, I offer to you. Please accept it." And then he told, "If you think that this is a brass-made doll, then it will be a brass-made doll for you forever. But if you think, here is Krishna, then Krishna, this Krishna, will talk with you." And I had another deity experience with Srila Prabhupada in Dallas. The day Prabhupada first arrived at Gurukula, Dallas, Sri Galim pulled up 2 hours after he arrived with Radhakala Chandi, who had just arrived from Philadelphia. And immediately Prabhupada wanted to install the deities, and he changed his travel plans. But for some reason, the pujaris removed the paint from the deities and repainted them with an oil-based paint that wouldn't be dry in time for the installation. And when Srila Prabhupada heard this, he was furious. And he came into the room and inspected the deities, who had these heat lamps shining, trying to dry the paint and just shook his head and made that sound and turned to walk out. And Satsarup, who was the GBC there at the time, said, "What should we do now, Srila Prabhupada?" And Srila Prabhupada turned and raised his cane as if he was going to strike and said, "Do whatever you like. Why bother asking me?" And previous to this, he had called in the pujari and the girl who had been employed to paint the deity and asked why they had done it. And she had said, "Well, Govardhan said," and Srila Prabhupada yelled, and in the Dallas temple, his quarters were behind the sanctuary, which was a very big auditorium, and the sound reverberated throughout the temple. "Govardhan! Govardhan! Who is this Govardhan? Why you did not ask me? I am sitting right here." And many times we all felt that Srila Prabhupada was inaccessible. And unfortunately, in the attempt to protect him from disturbance, a wall was put up so that we did not feel that we could come to him with our questions. But in this way, he demonstrated very much our necessity to hear from him directly, and especially on important matters. So he instructed them to take the paint off and put the deities back exactly like they were. And he changed the ticket and stayed an extra day. And I remember carrying the deity down into the temple room, and the paint was, of course, still wet, and my shirt was colored with his lotus toenail paint and base lotus flower paint. And I wore that shirt for years. And Srila Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasant chanting Brahma Sanhita and instructing how the Abhishek should be done. And of course, the pujari had told not to pour any liquid over the head of Srimati Radharani because the paint would run. And from the Vyasasant, Srila Prabhupada was constantly taunting him. "Over their head!" He would stop his chanting. "Over the head! I said over the head!" And poor Satsarup couldn't do it. And this was very amusing. I thought Srila Prabhupada was enjoying the situation. It was a lesson for us all. I was given the service of selling incense, and so I spent many weeks away from the temple. And I had Krishna Kanti to thank for my association in the Krishna show and the tape ministry was my constant companion. And one of those tapes was a reading of an article written by Achyutananda Swami of a darshan that he had had with Srila Sridhara Maharaj. And the title of it was The Descent of the Holy Name. And this tape had a profound influence on me. And I didn't understand at the time who Srila Sridhara Maharaj was. All I knew is he said a very old sadhu sat on a rooftop in Navadvip. And this is all I could understand. But I understood later that Srila Prabhupada sent Achyutananda for training to Srila Sridhara Maharaj. And he asked this important question: if the holy name is spiritual, how is it that we are chanting it? And in that answer, I've come to the sum and substance of my realization of Krishna consciousness, and that is that we are not chanting the holy name. The holy name is Shabda Brahman. The holy name is given through the auspice of the bona fide spiritual master who possesses the holy name. And if we will surrender to it, then the holy name will chant us. But we must surrender to it the appropriate number of rounds as we have promised our spiritual master. And this is our agreement. He is giving us the name, and we are to receive it. And in this way, our instruction is to make ourselves a proper receiver. Later on, we thought the holy name was something that was chanted with both lips and the tongue. And this was instructed in reform handbooks. But it was fully my understanding in hearing Srila Prabhupada and the necessity to hear from the spiritual master, and not only to think in terms of words, syllables, and whatever meaning that our fallacious mind may construe, but to hear the heart-to-heart transmission from the lips of the pure devotee. And when that moves our heart, then that sympathetic vibration, the holy name will dance on our tongue. But it isn't by any effort that we are producing. It's nothing that we produce, but it is simply the nature of receptivity that we have received, and out of a sympathetic reaction, a recapitulation, then our heart vibrates in that same mood and sentiment of the pure devotee. And I'm very happy to have gotten this connection. Very fortunate in my life to have had the association of great Mahatmas and so many dear God brothers who are carrying this vibration within their hearts, and in so many ways trying to share what we have received. But it is that reception, nothing we can manufacture, nothing we can change, nothing we can create, but it is only that we can reflect, if we can be the appropriate via media for that pure vibration, then we can truly call ourselves disciples. I don't know anything about Krishna. I know something about Sri Guru and his grace. For me, Krishna is manifest in that person. And it is no singular person. As Srila Prabhupada told in his address to the League of Devotees, it is not a matter of my guru and your guru. Guru is one. But it is necessary for us to follow that guru. And I have no hope or even necessity to know Krishna. But if I can serve Guru or the servant of the Guru, then I feel this is the perfection, the sweet gift of the Rupanuga Sampradaya, that ultimately we must find Srimati Radharani in Sri Guru. And that is the target of our service. We have no hope to serve or please Krishna directly. We understand he is getting his pleasure, supreme pleasure, from Srimati Radharani. There's no question of seeing or serving him directly. But to be amongst the Manjaris, the Sakis, this is more than we can even hope for. And it is our great good fortune that Srila Prabhupada has tricked us and others, gracious Vaishnavas, have attracted and dragged us into the association of this Rupa Nuga Sampradaya, which is so special beyond all considerations and all other conceptions, the sweetness of Radha Dasha. And to protect it, of course, is our great necessity. To discover it, to receive it first, we must receive it, and then carefully not allow our own contamination to interfere with the proper reflection, the proper vibration. Not that we will add, adjust, subtract, or change anything. And in this way, we can serve Krishna. And from what I could glean from Srila Prabhupada, this was his highest aspiration, that service to the Vaishnava is higher, is actually possible. And that's his great grace upon us, that he gives us that opportunity. We cannot hope to serve Krishna directly in quarters of lifetimes. But if we can get one drop of dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, then our life is perfect. And I think I have no greater thing to achieve in this life than that gracious grant, which I've already received. Only I need purify myself properly. Dive deep. Don't be satisfied with the surface understanding. Religion is a prison, and we have picked up so much of the acculturation of Hinduism and what we consider to be the Vedic religion. But it is necessary for us to go to the core, and this is beyond all visual, mental, and objective understandings, and that is the subjective. We must go into the subjective evolution of consciousness and dive deep into that reality of reality, the beautiful, where Krishna is searching for his lost servant. And we need to join there. And there really isn't any reason to delay. We've been given everything, and we shouldn't let anyone stand in the way of our own personal reception, oral submissive, oral reception. And it doesn't have to come down through any hierarchy or any voted body, but it's coming directly through Shabda Brahman. And by hearing the sound of the holy name from the pure devotee, then we are given visa, not only passport, but visa for entrance into that spiritual world. So no obfuscation. You don't have to wear a button. You don't have to dress in a certain way. You don't have to salute anyone. But it is necessary for you to receive in the core of your heart the sound vibration from the pure devotee, and it is necessary to hear that from a pure devotee, and you need search for that pure devotee. Don't accept any substitute. In that talk of Srila Sridhara Maharaj, he told, if you go through the forest and you mark a path for others to follow, but if someone comes into that forest and marks every tree, then it is very difficult to know the real path. So in this time, there are many bogus gurus about. And for whatever purpose, there are many paths. But it is told strongly, our greatest friend is Krishna himself, Guru Paramatma in the heart. And Paramatma will manifest as the pure devotee if we sincerely want that. So it is according to our sincere hankering. If we want to contact the pure devotee, Krishna will arrange. You can't be impatient. That he will arrange for that. And so if it is our sincere desire, and that sincerity can be found in the books, Srila Prabhupada told, I'm in the books, and if we read them clearly with a purpose for hearing from Srila Prabhupada, not from understanding words, accumulating knowledge, a philosophical wrangling, but simply to contact the author who is simply giving you connection with his source, then we will get that connection. It's guaranteed.